not all of them.
But at the end, you cannot put into that address without running the risk of extreme criticism. Things that are really very much opposed to the ethos of the organization. And so that everyone, when they're hearing the annual address, they may disagree whether it's middle of the line, row, and so forth, but it does bring together, pulls together the left wing and the right wing that's present in every organization. So that a presidential address is not just like a kind of a lecture where you may be simply putting forth your own ideas that are not necessarily shared by anyone else, but that a presidential address or an address by a bishop, that address is shared by large numbers of people, present and not present. You know? Now, therefore, in terms of isolating values and seeing what this thing is all about, it seems to me that it's not a personal thing when you hear that kind of address.
I agree with that.
And therefore, Martin Luther King, I think that you can look at a number of his speeches, and you can, in fact, say that Martin Luther King stands in a tradition, because you can point to many, many, many speeches and addresses and so forth done by many other people at different times that have said almost the same sort of thing, and the same ideas were present. And therefore, you can say that it's not just King. I mean, he personifies, at this point, the tradition. And therefore, I've been wrestling with how do you get at the values of a people without sort of doing a sociological analysis where you do need to have $500,000 in order to run questionnaires. Yeah. But I'm trying to say, now, how do you get at the values of a people? Well, you really do look at their primary institutions.
Do you
and
say
then
that in
look
your book?
That's what I'm doing, and that's what I say in the book.
But
you look at the leaders.
Okay.
No, this is the fifth chapter.
Good.
I know, right? This, and then you look at the primary institution.
Okay.
You look at the primary leaders in that institution. And then you say, well, at least you're saying something that makes halfway good sense about getting some brushy.
But do you also look at their budget? Yeah. Do you do anything in terms of their budgets? Because I think if you look at their budgets, you'll get a truer picture of their values than the entertainment of some of the preaching when they pay for
the one,
the entertainment value of the preaching. That if in fact, you know, as you say, a lot of the money to do some of those concerns from one folk.
I agree with you. I do not look at their budget. One thing is, it's almost impossible to find the budget of the
Vatican.
I might say, in the way of introduction, that's Dr. Bailey, who is New Testament,
Old Testament
professor here at the ITC. Charles wanted to have a wrap-up word, and then I would want to say...
No, I want to have the word after you, because I'm the ranking society officer here, and I feel that it's my responsibility to close the meeting for the society, so I want you to close. I thought it was an appropriate time for us to close this discussion.
Well, I just merely wanted to say that, with all due respect to Peter's one chapter read here, he did announce that we probably would have more to criticize him on because he had not read the other chapter.
That's right.
I wanted to get him out of the hole.
Oh, just when we read the other chapter.
We do. I understand that it's already gone, hasn't it?
No, I have it. They have it, and I have it too. I've given another month and a half for
revision. Don't let the critics get your manuscript before it's published.
I'm going to say in the introduction I was read here.
I'm really being facetious now.
I should say that
when I was in the midst of my dissertation, my major professor and I had some very, very, very serious differences. And I said that, you know, you can give anybody your manuscript and they'll always edit it, re-edit it. And I said, you about to mess up my dissertation. That was S. Paul Schilling. And you can see where he would come back and say, if you don't do this now, I might not sign it. So I'm saying that we are indebted to Peter for having met us this morning and for this extended time. And I want to say that I'm deeply indebted, and I know I speak for the Board of Trustees of Gammon, who made available the facilities of Gammon and a part of its resources to say how happy we are to have had the experience of having you to meet us in the dialogue. Those the persons who did take formal leadership, who were also members of the society. You have enriched our lives, and I know I speak on behalf collectively of all of those pastors who have come back. The idea was to have you be in dialogue with them and to have them respond and to have some persons from among them also to participate in presenting papers. We have been enriched and the experience has exceeded my expectations and expectations of the task force on programming. We would like to invite you back to the final in these series of convocations. We have had three. The first had to do with the role of the boards and agencies of the United Methodist Church in strengthening the black church. Their response was not nearly so forceful and forthright as were the responses that have come from this group. This one had to do with the assessment of black theology and its relevancy. I was interested in Jacqueline Grant's wrestling with the word relevant, saying that it's that black theology is either relevant or it is irrelevant. And we wrestle with that, but still fixed on the word relevant, because I recall that there were many of you when persons first started writing black theology wondered whether or not we were writing from the vantage point of the local church or of the church. Many of us were accused of being far removed, too far removed from the life of the church, or whether indeed we were writing ex cathedra. We wrestle with that. And with that, we are closing with an assessment of liberation theology, its relevancy to the struggle for the achievement of a better society. And that is to be international. It is to be convened, that time is to be convened December 5th through 7th, and you will be receiving an invitation for that. Charles?
Thank you very much. I just wanted to echo what has already been said in words of appreciation to Dr. Major Jones and to the trustees and constituents of Gammon Theological Seminary for the invitation for us to be involved and for extending to us the opportunity to have this session, which is a plenary session of the Society itself, with the sharing and participation of those who have been, who are constituents of Gammon and our students and so forth and so on. It has been particularly enriching to us to be in the setting and to have this participation. I would also like to say that Major Jones has entertained us royally because we had meals provided at his expense that we are accustomed to paying for ourselves. And that is a help. Being the next officer in the society, I felt it my responsibility to say some closing word. And wish you success in that final convocation. I hope some of us can attend. And we look forward to seeing the gathering again next year.
Chicago.
In Chicago for the society. And our new president is Dr. Charles Long, who, when he was elected, didn't say anything, so we assume he does bring something. Thanks very much.
May we have a closing prayer by Reverend Mrs.
Oh God, our heavenly parent, we are grateful for this opportunity of gathering together, for the enrichment of our lives, the experiences that we have shared. We pray, O God, that we will have journey mercies, we will have thy benediction upon our lives as we go from this place, as we move about among those of your servants. And be with us and be with our responsibilities, we pray, O God, our family of the children of God, here and there and everywhere. In the name of Jesus, our Savior and Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.